40 years ago, on April 25th, 1967, Colorado brought forth to this nation a new law dedicated to the proposition that all men are no longer created equal. Now we are engaged in a great cultural war, testing whether this nation, which routinely destroys the lives of innocent preborn babies, can long endure. On April 25th, please join Colorado Right to Life to commemorate the millions of lives killed by abortion, because our state passed the first law in America allowing children to be killed for the crimes of their fathers. Noted speaker Dr. Alan Keyes will give the keynote address about our God-given rights and why they are far superior to any law written by man. Join us at 1:30 at the state capitol on April 25th to prayerfully put an end to the bloodshed. Stand with Dr. Keyes and Colorado Right to Life as we work to reestablish legal protection for all human life, from fertilization through natural death. For more information, call Colorado Right to Life at 303-753-9394. That's 303-753-9394.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. On this show, we will quote from the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling out today, in which they upheld the ban on partial birth abortion. We will quote from that ruling and see, tragically, that the ruling itself once again affirms a woman's right to kill her unborn child. It's just that this particular technique is being prohibited. And we will discuss that along with quotes from the ruling in a moment. But first, a couple updates. Yesterday, Alan Keyes appeared on this show and two other radio shows, Gino Geraci on KRKS Radio and with Dan Kaplis and Craig Silverman on KHAL Radio. And let me tell you, Alan Keyes chewed up and spit out Craig Silverman. It was the most extraordinary 15 minutes of radio I've heard in 10 years. And so when you get the chance, get to an internet connection, go to khow.com and click on the Kaplis and Silverman show and listen to that. It's an MP3. You could even download it to your computer and send it around to friends. It's extraordinary. So powerful. I cannot wait to see Alan Keyes Wednesday, a week from today, at the Capitol at 1:30. Now, the paper of record for the Virginia Tech murders is the Roanoke Times, and they have an article in their paper today, a full-page article that features primarily Brian Rohrbaugh talking about school shootings. And WorldNet Daily is linking to this article from their front page. WorldNet Daily is one of the leading news sources in the world. And so this is a big deal for getting the word out. I want to quote to you how this article ends. Rohrbaugh shared ideas about ways to comfort grieving parents. Obviously, he said, this is every parent's worst nightmare. How do you talk to someone whose child has been murdered? The best comfort can't be simple, he said. Give them a hug. Tell them you're sorry. As a Christian, I know it's a terrible idea to say to a parent, this was God's will or part of God's plan. God does not ordain the murder of innocent children. Wow. When was the last time you heard that truth and righteousness and goodness declared in a public forum in a major newspaper after a moment of tragedy by a Christian? Typically, Christians attribute all filth, perversion, confusion, mayhem, wickedness to God's will and God's design for God's pleasure. And that's just slanderous of the Lord. So thank you, Brian Rohrbaugh and WorldNet Daily and even Duncan Adams for writing this article that's in the Roanoke Times. Wow. Okay. Now, before we get to the ruling on the partial birth abortion ban, one last issue. There was a memorial service, a convocation at Virginia Tech yesterday, and there was an English professor who spoke. Now, President Bush was there. President Bush, Mrs. Bush, the pro-abortion, pro-choice, Laura Bush. They joined university officials and thousands of Virginia Tech students for this campus convocation, this memorial service. And Professor Nikki Giovanni spoke. She's in the English department, and the murderer, recall, was a student of the English department. And yesterday on this show, Alan Keyes and I were talking about how when you teach young people that human beings are animals, then you should not be surprised when they behave like animals. And so I'm going to quote to you what this professor, Nikki Giovanni, said. We heard it on CNN. It's being reported today on the internet. Not especially, no attention brought to it, just as a matter of fact. She said this, and for this I despise her. She said, "We are Virginia Tech. We do not understand this tragedy." Of course, we Christians do. It's called sin and evil, wickedness. "We do not understand this tragedy. We know we did nothing to deserve it, but neither does a child in Africa dying of AIDS, neither does the baby elephant watching his community be devastated for ivory." She is a sick woman. She is a sick woman, and comparing at a moment like this the grief of human beings who've had their children slaughtered by a murderer, comparing that to the killing of an animal is despicable. And in fact, that's part of the problem. When children are taught that they are animals, that they exist in a moral vacuum, that there is no right and wrong, there's not even such a thing as truth. Certainly, we were not created in God's image, and there is no judgment day. When people are taught like that, you end up in a very dangerous society. The Nazis murdered innocent people by the millions, and they were motivated by an atheistic, evolutionary, socialist worldview. The same thing is true with the communists in the Soviet Union and communist regimes that have been atheistic and Darwinist. So this professor, Nikki Giovanni, is an accomplice after the fact. After the fact, everyone who tells young people that they are animals and that human beings and animals were on the same plane, that we have evolved from animals, we're not created in God's image or likeness, but we have evolved from the slime, and we are animals. Everyone who tells young people that is complicitous in the behavior of those young peoples when they act on the notion that we are animals. And when they behave like animals, those who have taught them that are responsible. They share in the guilt. Okay, now today, the U.S. Supreme Court has issued a ruling upholding a ban on partial birth abortion. And I'm going to quote to you from that ruling. And it was a 5-4 ruling. And Justice Kennedy wrote the opinion of the majority. And he was joined in with Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia and Samuel Alito and John Roberts. So it's the justices who are typically called the conservatives. And I'll quote to you from one paragraph of the ruling, and they were depending in part on a precedent case that's referred to as Casey, okay, former governor of Pennsylvania, a Supreme Court case dealing with abortion called Casey. And this is what they wrote. It's a 40-page ruling. I've only read a few pages of it. They wrote, "We assume the following principles for the purpose of this opinion. Before viability," that's before a baby could survive on its own. You know, an infant can't survive on its own. But before viability, "a state may not prohibit any woman from making the ultimate decision to terminate her pregnancy. A state may not impose upon this right an undue burden." So a state can't take away from a woman the right to kill her baby. A state cannot impose an undue burden on that right to kill the baby. On the other hand, these five justices concur, regulations may express profound respect for the life of the unborn if they are not a substantial obstacle to the woman's exercise of the right to choose. You hear that? So these five U.S. Supreme Court justices are saying that a state may not prohibit any woman from killing her unborn child. They may not impose any undue burden upon the right to kill her unborn child. But we view partial birth abortion, a ban on that, as that's not really an undue burden because the baby can be killed some other way. The baby can be killed another way, and therefore we will uphold this ban. On the other hand, they write, regulations may express profound respect for the life of the unborn. How's that? So this might qualify, right? Profound respect. You can't kill the baby in that way. You can kill it in any other way. Profound respect for the unborn child. So they say regulations may express profound respect for the life of the unborn if they are not a substantial obstacle to the woman's exercise of the right to choose. Casey, in short, struck a balance, they write. They write this. They're not quoting Casey. They're writing their own opinion. Kennedy wrote it, and it's concurred to by Roberts and Scalia and Thomas and Alito. They write, Casey, in short, struck a balance. Oh, a balance. Isn't that something? The balance is you can kill the baby. In fact, you have the absolute right to kill the baby. It's just that you can regulate it as long as you don't impose an undue burden. And you know who refined the undue burden test? That was Samuel Alito as a federal court judge in New Jersey a few years back. And so then they wrote, we now apply that standard to the case at the bar. So that's the standard that they're applying in this decision. So is this a decision that affirms the personhood of the child? Or is this a decision that says the states can regulate abortion as long as they do not deny the right to kill your baby? That's what this is. So there are pro-life activists around the country today, I know. I mean, I remember back in 1994 when the Republicans had a major victory taking over the House of Representatives, and I was on the air at the time, and Republicans were almost beside themselves, giddy with joy, celebrating, drunk that night, celebrating the takeover, and America is now finally on the path to moral recovery, 1994. And I went on the air, one of the few voices in the country from the Christian conservative side, and said that in 2 years from now, you will see that America is not better off. It will be worse off because the things we are celebrating are lies. We like to be lied to. We like to be lied to. And 2 years later, of course, even with the Republican freshman in the House, those 2 years they had passed up until that time, the most horrendous laws in the history of the country, excepting the slavery laws. So this partial birth abortion ban, people ask, okay, so this is exciting, isn't it? This is exciting. The Supreme Court finally, after 15 years of pro-lifers working for a partial birth abortion ban, the Supreme Court upheld the ban. Well, I feel as I would have felt if we were all Germans and we had just outlawed Zyklon A. We just outlawed Zyklon A while the Nazis were killing Jews with Zyklon B. They were gassing them. They were shooting them. They were burying them alive. And we worked for 15 years to outlaw Zyklon A. And the Nazis are laughing because they killed the Jews with Zyklon B. Let me quote from the Associated Press today. Okay, so it's not in my words. This is the Associated Press. Let's see. Abortion opponents say that the law will not, that's you and I, right? You and I, we're against abortion. If you're listening and you're a pro-abort, you're for abortion, you're a murderer, and we're not considering your opinion. You're not qualified to express your opinion publicly. So abortion opponents, that's us, say the law will not reduce the number of abortions performed. That's true. Why not? Well, here's the Associated Press today. This was the first article I saw on the ruling earlier today. Abortion opponents say the law, and which is now upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court, the law that Congress passed back in 2003 and George W. Bush signed, the law that has kept us distracted from the real issue for almost 15 years, raising tens of millions of dollars in campaign funds. And abortion opponents say the law will not reduce the number of abortions performed because an alternative method, dismembering the fetus in the uterus, is available and indeed much more common. Of course it's much more common. And that's not the only alternative method. Abortionists are skilled in multiple methods. How many pro-life Christians in the ranks who've given money to fight partial birth abortion, who's campaigned for 15 years, how many of them do you think have been told by our Christian pro-life leaders that the partial birth abortion ban would not reduce the number of abortions performed? How many of them? Somewhere around zero. Somewhere around none have ever heard that before until maybe today, or if they tuned in, if they listen to Flip Benham or Judy Brown or Bob Enyart Live or Colorado Right to Life. Most pro-life ministries, they satisfy themselves with these symbolic efforts that distract us from the actual battle, which is to reassert the personhood of the child. That's the battle. And we have stacked the federal judiciary with Republican conservative judges who do not believe the personhood of the child is even relevant. They believe it is only the process. If you follow the process, that is what matters. So Antonin Scalia, a hero of the pro-life Christian community, Antonin Scalia said at Pepperdine University recently, he said, he was asked by a student, because he was telling these law students, he was telling them the judge's rule is to uphold the law. That's it. So in our democratic society, a judge is just a rubber stamper. If you follow the process, you get rubber stamped. Well, what if you follow the process and you could say you could kill the Jews? Well, you're a judge. You rubber stamp it. So he was asked, what if you were a judge in Germany and the Holocaust was going on? And he said, well, then I would have been convicted at Nuremberg. I suppose I would have been convicted at Nuremberg. So that's where we've gone in a half a century, from American judges and our allies in righteous indignation convicting German judges because they followed the process and ruled to kill the innocent. We've gone from there in a half a century to where our Christian, pro-life, conservative, Republican heroes are the same judges who would have killed the Jews. And they are our heroes. And this is more of the same. So the Associated Press today says the law bans a method of ending a pregnancy rather than limiting when an abortion can be performed. And then they describe a partial birth abortion. They say the procedure at issue involves partially removing the fetus intact from a woman's uterus. In other words, you have a 6, 7, 8 month living baby in the womb. And the abortionist uses an ultrasound. Normally, the baby would be delivered head first. But a breech birth, that's when the baby's turned around. That's more dangerous for the mother because the baby's limbs are going the wrong direction. God designed the baby to be born head first, and the limbs naturally fold in. So the baby comes out safely for the mother. But if you do that, the head comes out first. And if the head is out, then the baby has rights, and if you kill it, you're a murderer. So the abortionist turns the baby in the womb, looking at the baby with ultrasound, and does a breech birth. Breech, that comes from the book of Genesis, when Zerah and Perez came out in the wrong order. Let this breech be upon you. The abortionist does a breech birth and pulls the baby out feet first. That's dangerous for the mother and the baby. You might break an arm. But what does the mother care if her baby's arm is broken? She's given the abortionist authority to kill the baby. The baby's been sucking his thumb and playing with his toes for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, sleeping, dreaming, learning his mother's voice. So the procedure at issue involves partially removing the fetus intact from a mother's uterus, then crushing or cutting its skull to complete the abortion. Isn't that sweet? That's partial birth abortion. The most gruesome, filthy, wicked example of what abortion is. And you know what we have just done? The pro-life community? We have squandered the blood of the thousands of children who've been killed by partial birth abortion, because we will never have a more powerful argument of how wicked abortion is than partial birth abortion. We will never have a more powerful example of how wicked abortion is than partial birth abortion. And you know what? We have robbed ourselves of the ability to use partial birth abortion to show people that abortion must be stopped. We can't use that argument any longer because partial birth abortion is stopped. So we go into Nazi Germany and we tell them, you have to give painkillers to the Jews first before you kill them. You got to make it more humane. And then if we made the Nazi machine more humane, you know what might have happened? They might have endured another generation. When you take the edge off of their wickedness, you enable it to survive to be wicked another day. We have wasted 15 years on a law that will not prevent the killing of a single baby scheduled to die today or any other day at an abortion clinic. 15 years. And we've been pushing states' rights on abortion. States' rights. No state has the right to pass a law that says you can kill a Jew or own a black man or rape a woman. No state has such a right. And those conservatives, those Christian conservatives who think that this is a state's rights issue or any criminal issue is a state's rights issue, you are a humanist. You are a moral relativist. You are a legal positivist, and you need to be ashamed of yourself. Because criminal law is not invented by men. Men do not have the right to say, now you could kidnap, now you could rape, now you could murder, because we followed the process. That is not a state's rights issue. No government should allow any subdivision of government to murder the innocent. It is not a state's rights issue. And when you say out of your filthy lips that abortion is a state's rights issue, you destroy the personhood of the child. Because no subdivision of government has the authority to decriminalize the murder of an innocent person. 15 years wasted, the blood of thousands of children squandered. And we have made once again the pro-life movement in their effort to make abortion more humane and more reasonable. And because of our wicked form of government, we have to convince the masses and the media and the judges that abortion is wrong. And yet we undermine the personhood of the child at every turn. At every turn. Antonin Scalia signed on to this. Antonin Scalia. And there are Christians celebrating all over this country. And Antonin Scalia was asked by a law student at Pepperdine University, what if you were a judge in Germany 50 years ago? And Scalia said, well, then I guess I would have been convicted at Nuremberg. You realize what he's saying? He needs to be ashamed. And every Christian pro-life leader who doesn't want to know or wants to look the other way or ignore what Scalia is saying needs to be ashamed. You know how I found out about that? You could go on the internet now and get reports on Scalia's comment. But I heard about it before it went on the internet. I heard about it when a lawyer who works for Focus on the Family called me up, said, Bob, could we meet? But it has to be private. Don't come to my office. So I drove down to Colorado Springs and we met at a private club, the El Paso Club. Nice place. And he said, Bob, I watched Focus on the Strategy And I got to tell you, Antonin Scalia, our hero, just spoke at Pepperdine University to law students. And he said the role of the judge is to uphold the law in the process. And one of the students asked, well, what if you were a judge in Germany 50 years ago? And Scalia said, well, then I guess I would have been convicted at Nuremberg. That is the culmination of 25 years of a failed pro-life strategy. When Christian leaders will compromise on God's enduring command, do not murder, what makes us think that bureaucrats will do anything better? A week from today, April 25th at the Capitol, I don't know how people are going to get into the room. It only holds 200 people, the old Supreme Court chambers room in the Capitol. And Alan Keyes was burning up the airwaves yesterday, especially on KHOW Radio with Kaplis and Silverman. Dan was great. Silverman was an idiot. And Alan Keyes chewed him up and spit him out. It was unbelievable. You have got to hear it. And also his analysis of Rudy Giuliani and Barack Obama and Mitt Romney and John McCain. You've got to hear it. It was extraordinary. I can't wait to see Alan Keyes. I am humbled by the fact that he is coming to Colorado to meet with us. So if you can be there. And if you can't get into the room that night at 7 o'clock at Maggiano's in Denver, but you need a reservation in advance, so call Right to Life. What's their phone number? 303-735-9394? I think that's their number. And also, you're invited to come to Denver Bible Church this Sunday morning. I'll be presenting Focus on the Strategy 2, a preview to our church, and help get the kinks out of the presentation. And Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. And kgov.com, that's our website.
On April 25th, join Colorado Right to Life as they remember the 40th anniversary of the first abortion law ever passed in America by Colorado. Noted speaker Dr. Alan Keyes will give the keynote address at 1:30 at the state capitol. Then join Dr. Keyes, Judy Brown, and Flip Benham at a special dinner Wednesday evening at Maggiano's. Tickets are $100 per person and will sell out. Be a part of this special evening with Dr. Keyes, Wednesday, April 25th. To make your reservations, call 303-753-9394. 303-753-9394.